All right, you're live.
Hi everyone. Look, welcome to the resumption of WA This Week. Now we're trying a new format, which is live. Because of that, we've got a slightly different camera this time. So look, forgive us if the quality isn't quite what you're used to in the broadcasts. Look, first up, you know, I come to you in a different guise for WA This Week now. Some of you at least would know that there was a leadership change in the state parliamentary Liberal Party, and my colleague Libby Metam is now the leader of the Liberal Party. Now, you know, I've said this publicly and it's not new news, but Libby is someone I have immense respect for and I just look forward to working with her. The leadership of the Liberal Party and the leadership of any parliamentary party is of the members in the party, and the members made that decision that they wanted Libby to take over. And as I say, my focus is on the Labor Party, defeating this really appalling McGowan Labor government at the next election. And I'm going to do everything I can in my own capacity and to work with Libby to achieve that and with my other parliamentary colleagues. Well, Parliament's been back for 2 weeks. It's good to have school back in and to sort of be back in there and dealing with issues. But, you know, a really disappointing start, I think, to this parliamentary session. First and foremost, I'm sure some of you must have heard, this government is just doubling down the utter destruction of ordered planning in the state of Western Australia. This week, the Premier boldly announced that they're going to embed the so-called COVID stimulus measures, if you like, the changes they'd made to planning that were apparently put to stimulate building during the COVID period. They're going to embed those changes. These changes, and I won't go through them in detail because it will bore you, but look, we'll have more detail coming out on this. But these changes effectively completely remove local councils from any significant planning decision in their area. So whether it's a large apartment or any multi-dwelling residence, those approvals won't be done by the councils. It's completely taken out of the council's hand. And as I say, this is the end of ordered planning in the whole of Western Australia, not just Perth. And, you know, the Premier plays this really, I think, nasty, infantile game of trying to pit one part of Perth against another by attacking the western suburbs. This sort of a wealth envy-based approach by the Premier in relation to this matter to try and justify what are disgraceful changes. But these changes in the planning law are going, planning laws are going to apply all over Western Australia, all over metropolitan Perth. You know, if you live in Bassendean, Bayswater, on the river, if you live on the Canning River, in fact, you live on any waterway, if you live on the ocean front, anywhere where developers want to bang up apartments, then they're going to do that and your council will have no say whatsoever. If they want to build a 20-storey building right next to your single-storey residence, they'll do that. What we've seen with these new approval routes is that effectively the projects just get waved through. It doesn't matter what they want to do. Now, most councils have what are called local planning schemes. These are schemes where the community's been consulted, the community's agreed where they want density, where they want other sorts of facilities, for example, shopping centres and the like. That's been discussed with the community. It's then gone to government to be approved. That's true in my area of Cottesloe. And that is, it has an approved local planning scheme. What have we seen under these government's changes to date? And that is completely inappropriate high-rise developments on the beachfront that are going to shade the beach. That's going to affect every beach user that comes to Cottesloe from right across Western Australia and I might say interstate and overseas. They don't care. The developers don't care. They don't care. They just want to make a quick buck and get out, but then leave the community to deal with. And the McGowan Labor government, they're not just sort of enabling this by default. They're enthusiastically enabling this. They're determined that they will serve their masters, and their masters are developers who fund them. And I've been very frank about this, and I think it's time that, you know, the broader public of Western Australia really became aware of this. Property developers funded the Labor campaign in 2017 to kick out the Barnett government because the Colin Barnett as the Premier would not accede to developers' wishes. He wouldn't bend to their will. And because of that, he was thrown out and the McGowan Labor government was put in. That government has done nothing but completely accede to the wishes of developers in what they want to do. And what they want to do is to not have any constraint on whatever they choose to do. More than that, the government is changing law, changing the laws further, so they can excise public lands and hand that over to developers for development. We've seen changes to the Swan and Canning River Management Amendment Bill, where the government can excise pieces of land that are on the river, on the Swan and Canning Rivers, and then hand those over to developers for private developers, and the council can do nothing about it. We've seen this Land and Public Works Legislation Amendment Bill, which has gone through the lower house this week. Again, the ability of the minister to take any managed public, any land, public lands that are subject to a management order. And that's typically, it may be parks, it may be other areas that are vested in councils. The lands minister can seize that back and turn that land over to developers for private development. You know, this is, you know, this is worse than WA Inc, I think. This is just an absolutely disgraceful abusive approach by the government. They're using their massive majority in Parliament to completely remove you, to remove your community, your council from significant planning decisions. And they don't care. Their arrogance is supreme. They completely control the Parliament. And as I've said, they've got not just thousands of dollars, they've had millions of dollars flowing into their party coffers as a reward for the decisions that, that they're making as a government. This is wrong. This is harming all of Western Australia. And increasingly, we're going to see worse and worse and worse developments occurring. You know, even, you know, some of you know, may know of the era of WA Inc. with Premier Brian Burke of the day. I think Brian Burke actually was someone who was trying to be a good Premier, but definitely got in with the wrong crowd and ended up in a deal of trouble. But even former Premier Brian Burke published a scathing op-ed this week saying this government's gone too far. Now, when Premier Burke's coming out and saying this has gone too far, that just tells you what a terrible situation this government has got in. And look, we've got a daily newspaper that is applauding the Premier and everything he does and talking about NIMBYs in the western suburbs. This is not about the western suburbs. This is about the entirety of Western Australia and the entirety of Perth. So it's your suburb. It's not just wealthy suburbs towards the city and the coast. It's the whole of Perth. So you can guess I'm really upset by this. And I think if people, the broader public, was aware of this, I think we'd have marching in the streets, because this is an egregious erosion of community involvement in planning. No, we've seen nothing like this. Planning in Western Australia has been put back, you know, to, well, you know, it goes back beyond the 50s, I think, in terms of removing the rights of communities to have a say of what happens in their areas. Look, I think I'll finish on that. Probably gone long enough and bored you, but I will keep you up to date. As I say, this will be a live format from now on, so really looking forward to being able to discuss the issues that are coming. You know, the government say they've got a legislative agenda that is going to make things better for the state. We see no measures improving for people in the state, and I will next time talk about cost of living, because I know that all of you are really experiencing horrendous cost of living pressures. And this state Labor government, outside of giving a couple of election bribes, and that is they announced some repayments before both the state election and the federal election on energy bills, outside of that, they're not giving you any cost of living relief, despite having a massive surplus and despite year on year increasing fees and charges going forward. So that's going to be a good topic to talk about next time. But look, thanks very much. Please share this with your colleagues. You'll be able to find a recorded version online and get the message out, because what's happening in the state of Western Australia now is just an absolute disgrace. Look, hope things get better, and I hope you have a great weekend. And certainly I'm looking forward tomorrow morning to the Rottnest Channel swim. So that's going to be a bit of fun to get out early, and I'll even have a dip. Thank you.
All right, David. So we do have a couple of questions, not too many coming through, but I'll give you a couple, or well, we have some comments that I'll put to you in the form of a question. The first, Daniel Lawson is bringing up an issue that a lot of people on social media bring up, that they say, why don't you just get Mark McGowan out on a vote of no confidence? Can you explain why that's not a legal feasible?
Well, look, I mean, he certainly should be. What an incompetent job he's doing. You know, he was lauded for COVID and what was done through COVID, and we recognise that as well. But in every other degree, he's failing the state of Western Australia, and his government's failing the state of Western Australia. The reason you can't have a vote of no confidence is he's got complete control of Parliament. He's got complete control of the lower house of Parliament, the complete control of the upper house of Parliament. And can I say, and this is something for you to put to your Labor members, they act like drones in Parliament. They simply turn up and do exactly what they're told. You know, and I'll give you an example. You would think a heartland issue for the Labor Party is the Aboriginal cultural heritage issue. And last year, the Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Bill went through the Parliament. Now, do you know that only one Labor member in the lower house, other than the minister, spoke on that bill? All of the other members were gagged from speaking on that bill in the lower house, and they just dutifully sat there with that bill going through without making any contribution on behalf of you, your constituents. I mean, they got 53 out of 59 of the lower house seats, so that's the majority of the areas of Western Australia. That's why, because the Labor members, and I've said this to them this week, they've sat back, they've blindly watched these changes going through Parliament in terms of the Lands and Public Works Legislation Amendment Bill, and they will do exactly the same. Mark my words, there won't be one of them that is going to stand up with these other planning changes that the member that the Premier is making. That includes the Labor member for Nedlands. That includes the Labor member for Churchlands. That includes the Labor member for Bateman. Suburbs that are, and the Labor member for Bicton, suburbs that are going to be heavily impacted by these appalling changes to the planning laws. And those Labor members are going to sit in the chamber and they're going to blindly vote for it. Sorry, that's why we can't get rid of him, because we've got a whole Labor backbench who just do what they're told.
Rita is asking about the issue in the Education Department. She fears that not enough is being done to safeguard children's mental health, because the Department of Education is only putting forward guidelines but not an actual framework. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, look, Rita, I think you're spot on, and you would know, in terms of those guidelines, all, as I understand it, the private school sector have completely adopted those and implemented those, but in the government sector, for some perverse reason, it's optional for the schools to take them on. You know, this is a, you talk about areas that are hidden, if you like, from the general community. Principals at schools and teachers at schools are aware of this, but there is an enormous escalation in mental health issues in schools, and the amount of self-harm of students is profoundly disturbing. In fact, I've spoken to principals who've said that children self-harming is the single biggest issue in their school. And of course, those mental health guidelines are designed to be implemented to try and help deal with that, to get early intervention so that we don't see the worst outcome, which obviously goes beyond self-harm, you know, for those students. And of course, we know there are just awful stories of this where things haven't been picked up and we've had dreadful outcomes for kids. So why wouldn't you do it? And I might say my colleague, the Honourable Donna Farragher, who's just a fantastic advocate for youth, and that's her shadow responsibility on top of some other areas, has been advocating this, not just in the area of mental health, but a whole range of health areas. And, you know, for example, hearing. There are many children who go to schools who don't have bad hearing picked up, and in fact, they're functionally deaf. They don't learn, and they just get pushed through the school system, and their life is substantially worse than it should be because they haven't learnt at school. So, you know, there's a whole area where the government school sector needs to really step up, providing resources for early intervention to deal with these issues. You know, many of these issues, it's probably the majority of issues, if they're dealt with early, then kids can go on to lead really productive lives, as productive as they can be, given their abilities and skills. But if it's not picked up, their whole life can be turned upside down.
All right, we'll take a couple more questions. Luca is talking about the fact that there seems to be no transparency with the WA government and that they're not paying much attention to regional WA.
Well, right on both counts. You know, I've said it publicly, and my colleagues have as well. This is the least transparent government in the history of the state. I mean, and it comes back. I was talking earlier about the arrogance of this government, the arrogance of the Premier, who believes he's just got total control of Parliament. He's got a daily newspaper and some other media outlets that just will not have a word of criticism of him, and so he can do what he likes. And so, as part of that, you see that behaviour in terms manifesting in terms of lack of transparency. So, you know, I put in, and my colleagues put in freedom of information requests. I mean, it's not unusual. Most of the time, they simply refuse to provide the information. They just simply say, "Oh, can you change it? Can you broaden it?" This goes on for months, toing and froing, trying to get any information back. If we do get any information back, then any significant information is just redacted. And by that, I mean you get back a sheet of paper, and it's effectively just a blank sheet of paper. It's got it and thus, but the whatever. But any information, any number is not given. I mean, the Premier and his ministers treat question time in Parliament with absolute contempt. They do not answer the questions. They just use the question time as an opportunity to basically insult the opposition whenever they can. So, you know, they're not at all transparent, and you know, it's a real shortcoming of this government, and something they need to be called out for by the mainstream media, because it's wrong. A democracy doesn't work when you've got a government that just refuses to explain what it's done or how it's done things.
Right. Well, we've already gone slightly over time, but I suppose you can take everyone else's questions next week. Is that right?
I can. And look, you know, put comments online as well, so we'll follow up on those. Thanks for this. Look, hope the format's okay. Give us feedback. As I've said many times, just appreciate feedback. But otherwise, yeah, looking forward to our next communication where we can talk about other important issues. Thank you.